Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Welcome, everybody, to show number 10 of On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Mr. Boyd, we've made it to double digits.
That's right, man. And welcome, everybody, to On the Double with the Double S Express. And, yeah, won't you tell the listeners what that double digits means?
Just show number 10 that we're moving and plugging along and staying in the grind and making things happen.
You know, and you know, it seems like just yesterday that we got everything started. And, you know, here we are in show number 10. Very exciting. A lot of stuff to talk about. For one, meta world peace in the NBA. Who would have thought this would be a headliner, Mr. Wally?
Well, you know, after a few weeks of furious action in the sports world, both positive and not so positive, things are slowing down over the weekend outside of a great golf tournament, the John Deere Classic, with a 19-year-old winning the tournament. First time a youngster that young has won a tournament in over 80 years.
You know, and there's a lot of credit, of course, goes to a lot of the great golfers that have paved the way. But, of course, one Tiger Woods starting out and playing young and, you know, taking the PGA by storm. You know, you're going to see a lot more young players coming in. And, you know, it's just a testament to golf and how it's evolved over the years.
Something not even the aforementioned Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, or even the new guy, Rory McIlroy, nobody of their stature won a major tournament, when they were 19 years old.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, again, I mean, you know, you're going to see a lot more young players coming in. And, you know, you have kids starting at the age of 5, you know, with golf clubs. You have parents that are realizing that it's an avid sport and a sport that is quite lucrative as well. And if I'd have known then what I know now, I probably would have taken up golf at a younger age. The money's definitely there.
At 19, the winner of the John Deere Classic has made $1.2 million already.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, what could you do with $1.2 million as a 19-year-old? You know, I know there are a lot of people in other sports. Of course, you know, you mentioned the NBA. There are a lot of players that come in at age 18 and 19. But when you're talking about golf, I mean, it's a true testament that they are breaking through and good things are happening.
And, Sean, before we started talking golf, you mentioned one meta world peace. Looks like he's shifting from the West Coast to the East Coast in the NBA.
Yeah, you know, and this could be a good thing for meta world peace. Of course, he played the past couple of seasons with the Los Angeles Lakers. And, you know, of course, there are some things that are going on as far as the Lakers are regrouping a little bit or tweaking some things with their team. Meta world peace going back to New York City. And, you know, this is where it all began for Meta. Every now and again, you will hear him in interviews talk about Queensbridge. And, you know, so it'll be good for him to go back and back to the old stomping grounds and, you know, see where things go for him. And hopefully this will be a great end to his career. I know that the New York Knicks are looking for him to be that added piece to help them challenge the Miami Heat for a championship.
In the NFL world, training camps roughly a week away for most teams, and some good things in the offseason in the past week. I know up here in the Northwest, a couple of high-profile Seahawks have had kids' camps. Russell Wilson had a passing camp hosted at the University of Washington. And down in your neck of the woods in Oakland, Marshawn Lynch hosted a camp where he fits the entire bill. Brings the kids cleats and jerseys and T-shirts and, you know, it's things like that that go unnoticed and unsaid in today's society.
You know, with football season vastly approaching and actually the training camp starting July the 19th for some teams and then July 24th and 25th for the rest, I'd say the Seattle Seahawks have positioned themselves very well in posturing themselves to be a team that steps out right out the gate as far as doing some great things this season. I know there are high expectations up there in the Pacific Northwest, and there should be. And, of course, one of their added foes, the San Francisco 49ers, you know, things have been a little bit shaky over the past couple of weeks. Of course, you have Colin Kaepernick in the newspapers and in the media, not just for peculiar reasons, but, you know, there are some things that show question marks in the camp. And so you want to make sure that everything is on the up and up as you're going into the training camp. And so right now, I'd say Seattle is definitely a front runner as one of the best teams in the NFL.
Well, unlike last season, the Seahawks should hit the ground running full speed ahead because Russell Wilson and the rest of the team has another year under their belt, and there shouldn't be that half a season lull and where the offense has the reins put on it. It should be all systems go in Seattle.
Yes, you know, and if all things go well, yeah, they will see themselves along with the San Francisco 49ers battling not just for the NFC West crown, but also the NFC and looking to go to the Super Bowl.
That would be an amazing thing, Super Bowl number 2, if Seattle can make it happen. But a long football season to get through here in the NFL, the college world, the high school world, football all around in the coming months.
Yeah, you know, and of course, like, you know, I've got a son that plays high school football, and, you know, he has been geared up and ready to go for the past few weeks and just had full contact this week. And, you know, it's exciting once you start to see the helmets go on and you see the pads go on and, you know, the season actually starts to change. Of course, down here in Northern California, especially in the area that I'm in, Sacramento, it takes a little bit longer for the seasons to change. But you definitely know football is in the air.
That's the voice of Sean Boyd. I am Sean Wally. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. In Major League Baseball, they're at the All-Star break. A lot of the players getting to rest, getting some time off, unless you're involved in All-Star festivities, which are going on right now tonight, the Home Run Derby in New York City, Citi Field, the home of the New York Mets.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, I have a favorite for this Home Run Derby, and that's the Oakland A's, Yunis Cespedes, who smashed 17 home runs in the first round to set a Home Run Derby pace record. So, you know, I haven't had a chance to get any updates or anything, but, you know, Home Run Derby is definitely something that is exciting for All-Star weekend. And, you know, there's, again, all those festivities going around and then the game coming up, which will see who gets home field in the World Series.
Definitely. It was a good thing a few years back. Major League Baseball made the All-Star game mean something, mean more than just a showcase and an extra check for the players that made it. And then yesterday on Sunday, the Futures game was held at Citi Field, and, you know, it was a chance for the best in minor league baseball to showcase their talents.
Yeah, so who are some of the young up-and-comings in the Future game?
Well, I can tell you of the Tacoma Rainiers and the Seattle Mariners AAA affiliate, Taijuan Walker, the stud pitcher ranked, I believe, number 7 by Baseball America in all of baseball's prospects. He shined with his high 90s fastball, and it was a close contest, a 4-3 win, I believe, by the West.
You know, so again, the West showing up and doing what they need to do. But it's always exciting for baseball, especially with the draft just ending a few weeks ago. And, of course, we had one of Major League Baseball scouts, Darryl Brown, on, and just talking about the promise and the hope of a lot of these young kids that go through the farm system at a young age, straight out of high school. And, of course, having All-Star Weekend coming up, there are lots of aspirations for these young ball players in the near future.
And as we close the first half of the baseball season out west where we are, the American League West, the Oakland A's staying red hot, taking games from the Boston Red Sox right up to the break, and Oakland playing well.
Yeah, you know, and of course, Oakland trying to separate themselves from second-place Texas Rangers, which they are two games up over the Rangers going into the All-Star break. But one of the surprises that's going on in the AL West is the Seattle Mariners that have mustered up a few wins, Sean, and look like they are have the most wins, actually, since the Cubs series. Is that correct?
Well, what's going on in Seattle is they finally decided to make the switch to the majority of their young prospects on the offensive front. They brought up catcher Mike Zunino, Nick Franklin. Dustin Ackley was sent down to get his swing right. He is now back with the parent club, with the Mariners. And in the month of July, they're averaging over 5 runs per game, which is why they're having success matching their good pitching.
Yeah, you know, and just to answer, I know we answer with questions with our fans and everything on our pages, you know, over the last 10 games. And Chad, this one's for you. The Seattle Mariners are 6-4 over the last 10 games, which is above 500, which is awesome. One game behind the Oakland A's at 7-3. So you have the Texas Rangers at 5-5 and the Houston Astros at 3-7. So you're looking at Oakland and Seattle definitely making some moves, and hopefully Seattle can continue this as the year goes on.
Shifting gears now, it's time to go out to the phone line and welcome in our big-time guest, number one tonight here on the Double with the Double S Express. Current quarterback coach at the University of Wyoming, Jason Gesser, is with us. Jason, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, Jason, thanks for being on the show, man. And this is an exciting time for you, of course. Quarterback, you're now the quarterback's coach at the University of Wyoming. Tell us what that's like right now.
It's going pretty good, you know. Just actually got back from our little break time that we have in the summer. Back in the office now, getting ready to gear up. Guys are just finishing off their summer workout conditioning and throwing and all their sessions that they do, and then they got a little bit of time off, about a week off, and then we report on the 4th of August, and we start gearing up and going, you know, and I'm very. Myself, I'm very fortunate and blessed to be here, but our team is also very fortunate and blessed to have a great core group of quarterbacks. You know, Brett Smith started for his freshman and sophomore year. He's coming back as a junior. He's a very talented young man who's continuing to grow his and improve his game. And right behind him, you got Jason Thompson, who's been pressing Brett right at his heels for a starting job and wanting to be a starter. You know, and it started a couple games last year when Brett did get hurt, and he's got all the physical tools in the world that you could ask a kid to have at the quarterback position or at any position in football. Very athletic kid, and then you got experienced guys like you know, Tommy Kirkgaard, who's going through his senior season, and then a freshman coming in, and Tommy Thornton, who's very talented as well too. So I got a great group of kids, not just talented kids, but you know, hungry kids that want to learn, want to get better, and there are good kids on and off the field. So I'm very blessed, and our team is very blessed right now.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a strong quarterback group there, and you had mentioned Brett Smith along with Jason Thompson. And it sounds like Coach Dave Christensen is echoing everything that you're saying. With Jason Thompson, it sounds like there's a quarterback competition, but then there's not. But what do you say as the quarterback coach?
Well, you know, I mean, here's the deal. When I first got in, and Jason did a great job when he stepped in this last year, and he wanted to compete and do everything in the spring, and so we let him compete. You know, Brett stayed all the reps at the once. You know, he's the starting quarterback, and he deserves that from his play and what he's done. But we wanted to give Jason some burn with the ones as well too. So as Jason took reps with the twos, we split some of the reps with Brett and him with the ones to give him some opportunity. And you know, and Jason is just a little bit behind Brett right now on certain things. Brett has a little more experience than he does, obviously. And we got to remember, I mean, the kid Jason is just a true freshman this year. You know, this is his true freshman year, so he's played all of college ball for 10 months now, you know, and so it's something that it's not that, you know, he's not going to do this or do that. I mean, the kid played in a wing T offense, a veer offense in high school, and so he's learning intricacies about footwork and about drops and about, you know, getting the ball quicker and where his reads are supposed to be and how to use his eyes, looking safeties off, manipulating the linebackers with his eyes and things like that with, you know, which Brett kind of has already a good feel of because of his experience not only from high school but his last few years in college. and now him kind of fine-tuning those things where Jason's just starting to learn those things. So, you know, he's just a little bit behind Brett, but he's competing and he's doing everything he can to press for that job. And you know, Brett's a starting quarterback, bottom line. You know, he's earned that and he's deserved that. And even through spring, he's shown that he's our starting guy. But at the same time, we're preparing Jason. You know, anybody knows in a game of football, not just the quarterback position, but any position, something can happen and that next guy has to be ready. But the great thing about it is that both of these guys, our team has confidence in both of them. Our team has, you know, they both have great leadership ability. They both believe in both of them. And if we have either guy on the field, we feel we can win that ball game, and they're going to give us a chance to win that ball game. And when you got two guys like that, that's awesome to have.
That's the voice of Wyoming Cowboy quarterback coach Jason Gesser talking Wyoming Cowboy football, joining Sean Wally and Sean Boyd here on the Double with the Double S Express. And Jason, looking at the Wyoming schedule, you've got a lot of nice teams that you're playing. You got to play Nebraska to start. You know, I'm guessing you have September 7th potentially circled on your football schedule as you play Idaho, where you spent two seasons as a coach. You've got Boise State, Hawaii, San Jose State, a lot of teams with some clout to play here in 2013.
No question. You know, the Mountain West is no doubt that the Mountain West is the top non-BCS conference out there. You know, and then we have in that top non-BCS conference that we have out there, we have two potentially of the best non-BCS teams, you know, in Boise State and Fresno State. I mean, both of those squads have done great jobs, not only this past year, but previous years, obviously, and what they've done. You know, they got, you know, Fresno's got a great quarterback coming back. We played them 2 years ago when he was just a freshman over up in Idaho. I remember just after the game going, wow, that kid, he's going to be a first rounder. He might be the first pick of the draft when he comes out. You know, and just seeing the tools that he has and the ability that he does in the car over at Fresno. They got some weapons over there on defense as well as on offense. And then, of course, Boise State's always solid every single year, and they're always pressing to try and get into a BCS bowl game with their record, you know. And so those schools are very, very well, you know, known for and touted for. And then you go and look at, you know, San Jose State, who we played last year, was in the WAC. Utah State, who we played last year in the WAC. And they both, I want to say, had 10-11 win seasons, you know. And that's not easy to do. You know, to get a 10-11 win season, it's not an easy thing to do. So they're coming off of that. Both of those guys are returning their quarterbacks, you know, and Fales over at San Jose and Chucky Keaton over at Utah State. So you got both of those guys that are bringing back some, you know, some clout as well, too. The Mountain West is not a joke. You know, we got to get ready to go. And of course, you mentioned earlier, always, you know, going up against Nebraska at Nebraska, we're obviously gonna have to be ready for that one. And that's the one game that we're focused on, and we got to get our kids focused on for the year. Yes, do we have a schedule coming up past that? We do, but we got to focus on that first one, because you go and try to overlook the Nebraska and be like, hey, you know, we're just going to go out there and we're going to compete, we're going to fight, we're going to do what we can. It's going to turn into a joke if we don't go out there and get ready for those guys, because no doubt that they're one of the top in the country, and they got some pretty good guys coming back as well too, and Martinez in the quarterback and what he can do with the ball, throwing and running especially. So and then you know, the Idaho game is what it is. You know, I got a lot of guys on that team that I care a lot about. And want to see them do good, just not do good against us. You know, it's just one of those things. It's, I love a lot of those guys, a lot of those players. You know, they've hit me up once in a while just because of the relationship that we built. I live over in Pullman, which is 8 miles away, so I'm running into that. I just ran into them the last 3-4 weeks when I was off. You know, I ran into some of the guys and said hi and talked to them. So, you know, I care a lot about that program and hope that they do well. I just hope they don't do well against us, you know. But other than that, the Mountain West Conference, we're gonna have to be ready each and every week. I mean, you might be able to compare the strength of a conference from top to bottom. The Mountain West, it might be comparable by the end of the season. I'm gonna say with the Pac-12 or with the BCS conference of where you can start pushing us in there, the strength from top to bottom, because we're gonna have to be ready every single week to play.
Jason, you mentioned Pullman, where you spent your college days at Washington State University. Did winters in Pullman, do you think that helps prepare you for what you might see in your first winter in Wyoming?
I think it'll have, winters over there. I played up in Calgary as well, too, so I haven't played up over there, up in Calgary. That's also going to help me out. But I have a feeling that I'm in for something that I've never experienced before. You know, just getting here in February, this past February, getting a taste of what a winter is like and going from winter to spring. So understanding some of it, the altitude, man, the altitude changes the game now. I mean, the altitude and the wind up here is the two things that change the game. You know, Pullman gets cold. Calgary is cold as well, too. But when you're at a different altitude and that wind comes blowing, it really does. It's a different feeling. And I don't know if you can really prepare for it. You got to try to get your mindset right. But I don't know if you can really prepare for it. So the great thing about over here in Wyoming, we got great facilities. We got a full indoor facility over here. So it's nice to have that to where if it is really bad outside, we can go and practice. But at the end of the day, our guys are used to it. We're used to it. We know what it's going to entail. And, we got teams like Hawaii coming up over here after Thanksgiving or around Thanksgiving time. We're looking to have a little bit of an edge on that bad boy, if you understand what I'm saying.
That'd be a culture shock for sure.
Yes. Yes. So for those of you just tuning in, we have Jason Gesser, assistant coach, or actually quarterback coach for the University of Wyoming Cowboys. Hey, Jason, you were talking about the altitude, of course. So for those of you who don't know, 7,200 feet is in Laramie, Wyoming. And, of course, you know, you mentioned the facilities as well. What a great campus the University of Wyoming has. I mean, you know, you're talking about War Stadium and the 30,000 screaming fans that you'll have with you and backing you in Laramie, Wyoming. I mean, I'm sure it compares because, of course, in Pullman, where you played at Washington State, same type of environment, a smaller stadium. Do you expect the same loud, raucous, intense feeling coming out of the Cowboys?
Oh, for sure. You know, and I haven't, been fortunate enough to experience the game here yet, but I'm really looking forward to this next year. But from what I've heard and pictures I've seen and stories that I've heard, the fans here are awesome. They drive from the entire state of Wyoming. We're the only show in town, if you want to call it. You know, the only school in the state, Division I football. So everybody comes and supports the Cowboys, and it's awesome to see and awesome to hear about. And I'm really looking forward to experience that this next year. Similar to Pullman, where I think we had 37,000 when I was playing there. I know they upped the stadium and they're doing a lot of renovations now, so I don't know exactly what the new number will be of this upcoming year of what the capacity will be, but very, very similar feel to where we're right on top, the crowd's right on top of us. They're supporting us. We got a new turf in this year. We got the mountains in the end zone. We got the altitude on the field, so we're juiced up about it. I'm juiced up about it. And the one thing that I did not know before I got up here, I didn't really know where Laramie was or too much about Wyoming before I was offered a job. And once I was offered a job, I did a lot of research. We're only 2 hours north of Denver, and being able to get in and out of Denver really easy and get up to the campus, the facilities here is one of the biggest things that I was in shock of. You know, I didn't think that the facilities here were going to be as nice as they are. You know, we got our own football facility with everything right in it, from weight room to our locker room to our meeting rooms to our team room, everything, and it overlooks the part of the stadium, one of the end zone. It's phenomenal. I did not expect that at all coming up to University of Wyoming and understanding what kind of facilities they do have here and what kind of backing and support the fans have up here, and if we go out there and perform the way that we should be able to perform and to our capabilities, win some ball games, we'll get even more fans out there. And trust me, I know that the difference from going with a 3-win season to a 10-win season to a Rose Bowl and how many fans will then start coming out and supporting So if we do our part, I know they will do their part and be there and backing us and supporting us, and it's going to be a fun year.
Definitely. And so tell me this. Now, being indoctrinated to Wyoming and, of course, you being acclimated, just getting acclimated to the surroundings and the culture, there is the beer song. Tell me a little bit about the beer song. I know this is something that the Wyoming Cowboys, the fans, get excited for. Have you heard about this song yet?
I've heard a little bit about it. I have not heard it yet. I haven't heard the song yet, but I've heard some things about it and how they like to have fun, and they like to get after the culture. I mean, the culture up here is this, man. It's pretty cool. It really is a kind of a hard nosed, hey, you know what? We're gonna go out here. We're blue collar. We're gonna work our butts off, you know, and we're gonna enjoy our time when we're not working, you know. And that's how they are. You know, they're gonna fight through. I mean, you go through, like you just talked about the winter earlier. So our winter is the greatest over here. No, you gotta adjust. You gotta adjust to the altitude. You know, it's out in the open range. You know, we're called the Cowboys for a reason. You know, and there's a lot of land out here, and there's a lot of cattle ranches out here, and how everything goes in that facet. So when guys go out there and they want to have a beer, they have a beer and they enjoy it, you know, and that's what I've heard. I haven't had the pleasure of hearing about it just yet, or hearing the song just yet, but I'm sure I will this next season.
All right.
Jason Gesser, quarterback coach at the University of Wyoming, joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. Jason, you mentioned Pullman and Rose Bowls, and you quarterback the Washington State Cougars to a Rose Bowl. What do you take away from those experiences and relating that to your team and your quarterbacks that you coach at Wyoming?
You know, being able to, you know, the one cool thing is, you know, the guys that are all up here, they're not, you know, a lot of them aren't, or none of them say are above 6'1", 6'2". You know, they're all the same, real similar size, real similar style of play. We're running a similar offensive, a one back offense. You know, we're doing more fast paced and up tempo here than we did at Washington State. But at the end of the day, going through experiences of being a leader, finding certain ways to find, you know, get wins under our belt, to go into a team where, you know, we talked about it earlier, it's comparable. It's a small college town, you know. If you're trying to go and play in the Pac-12 now, you know, be realistic. Who says, okay, my first choice in the Pac-12 is Washington State? Not very many, you know. Same with Wyoming. If they're going to say, oh, I'm going to play in the Mountain West, who really says my first choice is Wyoming? There's not a lot of guys that their first choice is. But once they get up there and they see that place and they understand the culture in the school and they understand the family feel and they understand that it's a college town and you can do great things there, you know, there's a lot of similarities and you draw across the board. And so being able to come from a smaller college town like Washington State, you know, to where – you know, we didn't win a lot there. You know, the MO was when I first got there was, hey, you know what? We go to a bowl once every 5 or 6 years if we're good, you know, and we had a good class in and we'll mature that class and every five or six years we'll go to a bowl game. And I wasn't used to that. You know, the high school that I came from down in Hawaii, never lost a game. We were at 12 state championships in a row when I ended up leaving, you know, and we're producing, you know, 8 to 11 Division One athletes a year, so we're used to success. We're used to nothing but the best, and we're gonna find a way to do that. And that was a mentality that I brought to Washington State, and you know, we had some great guys, and Coach Price wanted that mentality as well too. And doing there something there that's never been done, having 3 10-win seasons, you know, going back to back to back, they'd never done that before, and so being able to accomplish that there, I draw a lot of similarities in teaching these guys and giving my life experiences there to our guys here, you know, and that's the biggest thing is you got to be all in. You got to have pride for your school. You got to have pride for what you're doing, because at the end of the day, every single player out there, doesn't matter what school you're at, you're at that school for a reason. You know, the guy up top, the big man upstairs, he has everybody in a place for a reason. And if we're not grateful for that reason and we, you know, are there for individual reasons saying, oh, well, you know what, I'm just going to try and do my best and I'm going to get by and then I'm going to try and get to the league after that if it's all by myself. Those guys will never be successful. if the guys that have pride in their school, if the guys that have pride in not only the name on the back, but the name on the front of the jersey, on the side of the helmet, and the guys that stand next to them and know that football was here before me, it's going to be here after me. I got a short time here. I want to make this memorable. What are people going to remember? They're going to remember wins. They're going to remember what you guys did in bowl games. They're going to remember what you did in your rivalry games. They're going to remember all those things, and I want to leave a lasting legacy. So I'm going to sell all out I can for these 4 years or 5 years, whatever it may be, and have pride in the uniform I'm putting on. And once you get a team to understand that and get that going, that team is unstoppable, you know, and you can translate that to the NFL. You know, I was talking about it with our football ops guy the other night. We were driving back from Denver, you can sit there and you can draw back from how many Super Bowls, the last five, six, however many Super Bowls you want to draw back to. It wasn't the most individually talented team. You know, it was a team that came together and played together for the right time and got hot at the right time and understand that we're playing for more than just myself. I'm not playing for just my contract or my incentive. I'm playing for the guy next to me, you know, and there's a lot to be said, especially this last year with Ray Lewis and experiencing that whole deal, you know, and understanding that situation with Baltimore. It's something that's special, you know, and when a team comes together like that, I've been fortunate to be on teams that have done that. I've been, you know, unfortunate to be on teams that aren't like that, and it's a drastic difference. And so everything that I you know, experienced in playing wise and now coaching wise and, you know, broadcasting the things that I've done before as well, too. I'm drawn to all these kids and trying to teach these kids so they don't have to go through my same mistakes or go through the ups and downs that I went through. They can hopefully just stay steady and on the ups and have a good time doing that. So those are some of the things that, you know, being able to play and broadcast and coach and being a part of a whole different phenomenon of all the three different things, of seeing it from all the three different angles, of being able to teach these guys and how to handle certain situations. So it's pretty unique, and so far, you know, I feel like I've done a decent job, only time will tell.
Jason Gessard, kind enough to join us here tonight on the Double with the Double S Express. Final question for the quarterback coach at the University of Wyoming. Jason, you've obviously learned from a lot of people playing football your whole life and also now coaching. What type of coach do you think you are, and do you take similarities from one or two coaches or a combination of maybe all of them plus your own style?
You know, I think it's a combination. I really think that, you know, Coach Price, Mike Price, had a big influence on me, a really big influence on me. But before I even got to him, my high school coach, Coach Vinny Passes, down at St. Louis High School in Hawaii, he was the guy that really molded the person that I am and the type of player that I was. And I think that I've drawn for the most part, those two guys. Everywhere I went, you know, it's kind of weird, or not weird, but I kind of knew I wanted to coach when I was young. And so everywhere I went, I had, you know, I always took a little notebook about that coach. You know, I was fortunate enough to have Mike Price as a head coach and kind of a slash quarterback coach, offensive coordinator, everything he did at Washington State when I was there for 5 years. And I was fortunate enough to have, you know, Mike Heimerdinger at Tennessee with the Titans, and Craig Johnson, who's still coaching in the NFL right now, and you know, learned a lot from Heimerdinger and himself, you know, of certain guys that they've coached and the styles that they had. And then I had Danny White, who's a former Dallas Cowboy, for when I was playing in the AFL with the Utah Blades, you know. And everywhere I went, I always took notes on each coach and their style, and the things that I liked or didn't like, or you know, every different way. And so I kind of have meshed a lot of those things and took note of what I liked and didn't like, and how they prepared and how they did certain things. And then I added my own little flair to it. You know, you got to kind of be yourself and who you are. But I do think that my playing experiences has really molded me to the type of coach that I am. I'm a very tough coach, you know, but I'm an understanding coach. And the thing is I'm gonna demand a lot of you. I'm gonna demand perfection, and I'm not gonna expect any excuses or anything about that. I just want production. But then at the end of the day, you know, if we're working together, I'm not gonna be unreasonable at the same time. you know, and just trying to find that guy that had that same passion, that same drive, that same want-to of, you know, I don't care what the scenario, what the situation, we're going to find a way to win, and it's going to be because of me, and I'm going to pull this team up. I have to drag this team across the goal line. If I have to, you know, sell my body out there for whatever it may be to win this game or get a first down or get a touchdown, whatever it may be, I'm going to do it, you know, and just to have that passion and that drive along with the preparation and all the little things that come along with it. So I know that's kind of a long-winded answer, and I like to talk a lot, but that's, I'd say it's kind of my style, but mostly influenced by my high school coach and Coach Mike Price at Washington State.
Jason Gesser, quarterback coach, the University of Wyoming, thank you so much for your time and your insight tonight. It was a pleasure having you on the show, on the double with the Double S Express, and best of luck in your first season at Wyoming.
Yes.
No problem. Jeff. Thanks. Love to have you get on with you guys again during the season if you ever need it.
Hey, we'd love that. We would love that. Thanks again for being on, Jason.
All right. Take care, guys.
There goes Jason Gesser. You can follow him on Twitter at Jason Gesser, the quarterback coach for the Wyoming Cowboys.
Man, you know, Jason mentioned a couple of things, you know, as far as the toughness and preparation for the upcoming season. And you can almost feel as if, you know, he was the one preparing and getting ready to play. And, you know, one of the things that he left out for himself was the passion. You know, Jason has a lot of passion, and I know that he's going to definitely do some great things. Coming from a long lineage of quarterbacks from, you know, Washington State, all the way back from Jack Thompson, Mark Rippon, Tim Rosenbaugh, Drew Bledsoe, Ryan Leaf, the whole nine, and including himself. And so, you know, I have no doubt that they're going to do some great things at the University of Wyoming. So coming back from the break, we have guest number two. It's been an action-packed first half of the show. Guest number two will be Harrison Wood joining us. Harrison Wood has been doing some great things for us with our show. You'll get a chance to listen to him and his insight. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express on BBS Radio.
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. We have guest number two with us, and that is Harrison Wood. Hey, Harrison. How are things going?
Hello.
Hey, welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express, man. Appreciate having you on.
Oh, no problem. It's good to be on.
Harrison Wood joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And if you're curious just who Harrison Wood might be, take a listen to this, and that might give you an idea.
Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
That would be the open and the voice of Harrison Wood putting that open together for us. And great DJ, as I was saying, longtime DJ in Seattle, now down in Las Vegas, and also at KW3 in Wenatchee, Washington.
Yes, yes. How you guys doing today?
Great, man, great. You know, every time I hear that open and coming back from the break, you know, man, I get excited. Man, I love all the things that that you do. I mean, for those of you who don't know, Harrison, of course, has done the opening for us, you know, is coming up with some other things to help expand the Double S Express. And, you know, we just wanted the listeners to come and get a vibe on what Harrison Wood is all about and what you do, man. So, you know, talk to us about the now you're doing some things. You're down in Las Vegas now. What's going on?
Well, as you said, yeah, I'm working for KLUC in Las Vegas. That's going great. On the air here like 4 days a week. And then I do my illustration on the side, too. So just enjoying life down here, living in the sunshine, sitting on the patio right now. It's still in the 90s, if you can believe it. So just having fun, you know?
Man, you know, I'd love to be down there spending some time with you. Of course, Vegas is always a great spot to go and have some fun, man. But, you know, you also, you know, put things to task as far as, I mean, there are some things that you do animation-wise, you know, with comics and characters. Tell us a little bit, what's the latest development that you have going on in the artistic world?
Well, actually, I've worked on a graphic novel called Gemini Storm, which is a 144-page story and like this futuristic, apocalyptic-type thing that I did with a writer down in Australia, and right now I'm actually working with a couple of cats in Seattle, and we're putting together another graphic novel based on the legend of the Anunnaki. I don't know if you know much about that or not. It's an old Sumerian, Mesopotamian, over in the Middle East type creation myth. So we're trying to take that and bring it to life visually. So I've been doing that for a while, too, and yeah, just having some fun and then creating logos here and there whenever people want those. So needless to say, I'm pretty busy. It's going crazy sometimes. It feels like I don't have any free time. But then again, I'm living in Vegas, so you can always find things to do here.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to our logo, man. So, you know, I can't wait. I'm, you know, dying with suspense. So hurry up and get that over to us.
I'll try and get it done by I'll try and get that to you by the end of the week. I got I'm doing some morning show stuff this week, helping them out over here, so I have my afternoons free, so I'll get on that on the double.
All right.
Harrison, was it that tough for you to make the big switch and make the move and leave the Pacific Northwest and Seattle and leave your daughter and friends and family and make the move to Vegas?
Well, you know, being on the radio, I've lived in, this is the fourth state I've lived in. I'm born and raised in Seattle, actually. So I was there, started off, left, came back. And yeah, it was pretty tough. I spent the last 13 years in Seattle, and the opportunity arose for me to come down here. Basically, back in November, I started talking to him. And it took me about 3 months to make the decision, but at the end of the day, I came to realize it was the best decision for me, and you know, my daughter's at an age where, you know, she's old enough to fly by herself. She's actually been down here 3 times since I moved down here 4 months ago, so still get to see her a lot, and it's a different pace to the city as Seattle, and I like it a lot. It's a little bit faster paced. I think I like it, so I think it was a good move. It was initially very hard, but, you know, then life is all about making those choices and taking on those unknown challenges that we don't know about and making something out of them.
Harrison, in all your time DJing throughout the country, what are some of the most, I don't know if influential is the right word, but some of the people that you've met that it really one of the memories that just sticks out with you in your time, whether it be somebody you interviewed or somebody famous at a concert, a summer jam type deal?
Let's see, the coolest... probably one of the things that I remember the most, I was just talking about this the other day, actually, was 1999 when I was working in Denver. I got a chance to meet Eminem when his first CD came out before he was even really big. And that was actually pretty cool. Meeting Ice Cube was cool. And, you know, being on the radio has led to a couple other things. It was really cool, actually, to... I had a small, teeny bit part. If you blink, you'll miss it. in an independent film that was filmed in Seattle a couple of years ago, and being on the radio led to that, so that was pretty fun.
For those of you just tuning in, we're on the air with Harrison Wood. And, of course, Harrison, knowing that you have University of Washington ties, and of course, our first guest on was Jason Gesser, the former Washington State University quarterback. He's now at the University of Wyoming as quarterback coach. Where do you see the University of Washington finishing this year under the direction of Steve Sarkisian?
Well, first off, I love Coach Sark. You got to bark for Sark. I'm a Husky through and through. My dad was a wide receiver there from 65 to 69. I myself went there for a while. I was there when they won the national championship. I was at the Rose Bowl when they beat Michigan. And I think this kid, Keith Price, is a pretty good quarterback. Now it's the Pac-12. I think we got a good shot at least making it to a bowl. My prediction is I hope we end up in the top three of the Pac-12.
Yeah, you know, I believe that with Keith Price, you know, they definitely have something there. I mean, you have a mobile quarterback. The kid has a strong arm. It looks like the University of Washington is putting the pieces in place with the strong recruiting of the offensive line, the tight ends, and the receivers. So, you know, I'm thinking that this year could be a strong year for them. Of course, they open up August 31st against Boise State in the new, I believe, Husky Stadium.
That is going to be awesome. I haven't been to the new stadium yet. I see some pictures. I want to try and get back there for a game, but I'm hoping we can beat up on Boise State, you know. Nice little cush game there at the beginning of the season. And the fact that Keith Price is wearing my old high school number, that should only help him out a little bit.
Harrison Wood joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. Longtime radio DJ all over the country, right now in Las Vegas at KLUC and KW3 in Wenatchee, Washington. He just teleports back and forth between the two. We'll give out your secrets. It's okay, Harrison.
It's all good.
Harrison, you're a pretty big Seahawk fan, if I'm reading your Facebook and Twitter pages correct. How far do you think they'll go in 2013?
What are they saying in Seattle? 2013 is the year of the Hawk. I'm not really a betting man, but I'm living here in Las Vegas, and I've been tempted more than once to go down there and put it all down. I think we're going all the way this year. We got Percy Harvin. We got this young kid named Russell Wilson everybody seems excited about. Our defense is only getting better. Richard Sherman is a beast. My money's on going all the way, and I'll tell that to anybody. I've been saying it for months down here. I get some strange looks at some of the bars down here because everybody here seems to be San Francisco fans. But I'm Seahawks all the way, man.
You mentioned Richard Sherman. He and Brandon Browner are going to be here in my neck of the woods in the Tri Cities Thursday and Friday for the 12th Man Tour.
Yeah, I see some pictures. They're going around. He's such a great guy, Richard Sherman. I got to meet him once, and when I was working up in Seattle, and he came to the sports talk station that was in our building, and he's just a nice guy. He's funny, personable, and you know, he's, in my opinion, the best corner in the league. So I think we got a definite shot.
So for those of you just tuning in, Harrison Wood, the actual voice of On the Double with the Double S Express, our intro. And so, Harrison, you're talking about the Seahawks being – you're going all the way. You're all in. Being down in Vegas, what's the line? I know that the 49ers – it's between the 49ers, the Broncos, and the Seahawks. And I can tell you, being down here in Northern California, there's a huge echo that the San Francisco 49ers are going to go back to the Super Bowl and take care of business. How confident are you that the Seattle Seahawks can actually overcome what San Francisco is doing?
I don't know if you were watching, but when we played them back in December, didn't we beat them like 42-25 or something like that? I think that happened. I think it's about to happen again. No, but people down here, in most, my opinion again, but hey, I think this is going to happen. But a lot of the people down here, some of the sports books, I've been talking to a lot of people. The buzz down here is basically the Super Bowl is going to be between Denver and whoever wins the NFC West. And that's pretty much what people are saying.
Well, you know, there's a couple other teams that have to feel good about that then, in the Arizona Cardinals and the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah. Well, have to see. St. Louis is trying to build a team. I mean, they got some things going. I just don't think they're ready yet. I think the division is between Seattle and San Francisco, and I think whoever wins that rivalry is going to win the division and go on to the Super Bowl. And you know me, I'm all in for the Seahawks, so we'll have to wait and see.
So we know in week two, Harrison, your TV will be tuned in to NBC for Sunday Night Football, San Francisco at Seattle.
I'm having a big party at the house that weekend, and all Seahawks fans in Vegas are invited. We got a few. We even have a Seahawks bar down here that I just found out about. They're far and few between. Like I said, most people are Niners fans, but we do have a bar dedicated to the Seahawks down here. So makes me feel like I'm at home. So.
Well, I can tell you I'm definitely looking forward to the season this year. And, of course, the NFC West has a lot of eyes on it. As a matter of fact, as you had said, Harrison, the whole NFL will be watching to see how Russell Wilson does this year in his sophomore year, along with Colin Kaepernick as a starter. And these guys, they're going to have huge battles in the years to come as young quarterbacks, young, swift, quick, and precise quarterbacks as well. And so it should be fun in the NFC West.
Oh, yeah. I like Colin Kaepernick. He's got a nice, strong arm. I think he's one of those guys that's not afraid to go out and take a hit. But if I had to put together a team, I'm telling you, there's nobody who I think is more cool and confident in that backfield than Russell Wilson. After I saw him beat Chicago, and I'd like to say twice, because we beat him in regulation, they tied it up, and we did it again in overtime, I think he proved to the nation right there that he's got what it takes.
Harrison Wood, kind enough to join us here on the Double with the Double S Express. Harrison, two questions. When is the next time Harrison Wood fans can find you on the radio? And also, where can they get a hold of some of your comic work with Gemini Storm?
If you should go to a website called Indie Planet, I-N-D-Y, planet.com. Do a search for Gemini Storm, and it's all there. You can also go to Facebook. The page is The Art of Harrison B. Wood, and you can check out stuff there. And then, I guess there's a Gemini Storm page, too, that just got put up. The writer put it up, so you can check that out on Facebook. And you can catch me on the radio. I'm actually, the rest of this week, I am helping out the morning show, Chet Buchanan in the Morning Zoo on KLUC 5 to 10. And then I'll be on solo again Saturday night, 6 to midnight on KLUC and KLUC.com if you want to listen on the web.
Man, there's a blast from the past. Chet the Jet Buchanan.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
I love working here. I get to work with one of the guys that I grew up listening to on the radio, who was one of the big reasons that I got into this bit. So.
Isn't it amazing how our past and people we've known and worked with sometimes come full circle, and here you are back with Chet, and everything's moving full speed ahead.
Yeah, not only am I working with him, I get to do the morning show with him this week. How cool is that?
Definitely have to tune into that. Find it online, KLUC, out of Las Vegas. Harrison Wood, longtime DJ, great radio DJ. Check him out on Twitter at Wood on the Radio. Harrison Wood, thanks so much for your time tonight. We appreciate talking radio, talking
thanks,
comics.
Thanks, Harrison.
And definitely.
Oh, thank you for having me on the show.
Appreciate it, man. Enjoy the Seahawks season. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, yes. Go Seahawks.
Once again, that's Harrison Wood. Check him out at Wood on the Radio on Twitter.
Hey, Sean, you have to like the enthusiasm that Harrison has for the Seattle Seahawks, man. Again, I'm looking forward to this season, you know, with the 49ers, ready to hunker down and repeat as the NFC champion. So, man, I love it. I just love the excitement from Seattle fans.
It's going to be a dogfight week two of San Francisco, and probably all year, as both teams are very good in Seattle and San Francisco. All right, we're going to go ahead and get to one more break and come on back right after this. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
What? Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, show number 10. A few more minutes to go. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. What a show we've had so far, Sean.
Yeah, you know, it's been great. Of course, having Harrison Wood on, one of the best DJs in the land here. And, of course, he is a part of On the Double and helping us out and doing some things with our company. And, of course, having Jason Gesser on, University of Wyoming quarterbacks coach and former Washington State University quarterback extraordinaire. It has been a great show thus far.
Yeah, definitely. Two great interviews, and we'll have them up on our website at double-s-express.com by tomorrow evening. And if you didn't have a chance to get to them or you want to hear them again, you'll have that opportunity tomorrow evening.
Yes, you know, and we appreciate everybody who has been following. And, of course, we have, you know, lots of fans are starting to, you know, get a chance to listen to the show. And we encourage you, any ideas that you have, please don't hesitate. If you want to email Sean Wally, that's S-H-A-W-N at double-s-express.com. And if you want to email yours truly, that's Sean, S-E-A-N, at double-s-express.com. You know, we're open to any ideas that you would have for the show. And of course, you know, we also open it up for listeners from time to time. I know that we get to talking, you know, here and there, but if you go on the website, check out the 800 number, call in. If you have a great question, we'll look to answer it for you.
That is the voice of Sean Boyd down in Sacramento, California. I am Sean Wally in Tri-Cities, Washington, the hot, dry desert of Washington. Yes, it does exist.
Yeah, you know, when you say that, of course, there are a lot of people down here in California that say, what? Man, every time I'm up in Washington, it seems like there's a huge cloud over it. But most of the time when people go to Washington, they go to Western Washington. You're over in Eastern Washington. It's very similar to Northern California here in the Central Valley area. Very beautiful, lots of wine country. You know, hey, it's, you know, if you're blindfolded, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Well, Sean Boyd, looks like show number 10 is in the books. What a great show. Jason Gesser, quarterback coach, University of Wyoming, and former quarterback for the Washington State Cougars. And Harrison Wood, DJ extraordinaire, currently on air at KLUC in Las Vegas and KW3 in Wenatchee, not to mention a comic artist of Gemini Storm.
Yeah, so we got the best of both worlds for all the fans up in the Pacific Northwest. We had a Coug on, and then, of course, we had a Husky on. And, you know, didn't get a chance to talk with Jason about the Cougars in the upcoming season. I can tell you that they're going to start the season off with an L. And how do I know that? Because they're taking on my Auburn Tigers down at Jordan-Hare Stadium in Auburn, Alabama. Sorry, Coug fans, this one's a loss.
Well, if you believe what the people are saying out of Pullman, it's year three that you'll start seeing big strides in positivity out of the football team in Pullman.
Yeah, no doubt. I know Coach Leach is definitely going to, you know, he has a year under his belt in trying to develop this team. But, hey, the SEC is the SEC. And when you start out your first game going down into that country, I know that there are lots of people that say the University of Oregon has a loud stadium and the University of Washington. I've had a chance to be in both, no doubt. But when you go down to, and you play an SEC team and you listen to how raucous that crowd is and how it feels like the whole world is against you, there's no way that you're going to come out with a win.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game for the Cougars opening up against Auburn, but some very good exposure playing an SEC team.
Yes, you know, and so, you know, that I believe that's what Coach Leach is looking to do, is make sure that his team starts to get back into prominence, back to those days, as I was talking about earlier, with some of the quarterbacks of Drew Bledsoe and Ryan Leaf, and, of course, Jason Gesser, you know, trying to bring that feel back to Washington State and get the crowd back behind the Cougars.
Show number 10, I believe, is in the books. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd on the double with the Double S Express. As we've mentioned, big-time guest tonight, Jason Gesser, quarterback coach, University of Wyoming. Harrison Wood, comic artist of Gemini Storm and DJ at KLUC in Las Vegas. You may follow Harrison at Wood on the radio and Jason Gesser, easy, at Jason Gesser.
And so, yeah, so it has. It has been a great show. And, of course, you know, trying to keep up on the home run derby, it looks like Jonas Cespedes outslugged Bryce Harper to win the home run derby. So there is a lot of excitement, especially for me being an Oakland A's fan. And, of course, don't worry, Seattle Mariner fans, there's a lot of love that I have for you also. But, hey, the Oakland A's are doing their just right now, taking care of business. Congratulations to Jonas Cespedes on winning the home run derby.
So riddle me this, Batman Boyd.
Here we go.
The Mariners, the A's, in a one-game playoff for the AL West. Who you rooting for?
Man, well, you know, I've been down here in Northern California for the past 8 years, and, you know, that green and gold has definitely started to rub off. I would have to pick the Oakland A's, you know, in a one-game series to take it all.
Speechless. I am speechless.
Nothing against King Felix, but I just think Bartolo Colon could actually come out and take care of business, and I believe that the Oakland A's have a few more bats, just a few more consistent bats that would put them over the top.
With Bartolo Colon, is that before or after performance-enhancing drugs?
Here we go.
Hey, if we're going there with the Seahawks, I could go there with the A's.
Hey, you know, until proven, I mean, hey, he's out there taking care of business and playing good baseball. I know that he was on suspension last year, but, hey, this is a new year, and I believe that he's righted the ship, so I have to give him the benefit of the doubt.
Speaking of of suspensions and PEDs, we don't have time to get to it all, but real quick, did you see the rumors coming out of what might happen to Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah, you know, of course, it's sad that it's coming to this. And, of course, you know, again, this is somebody that, you know, it has to be proven that he's actually breaking the rules, excuse me, with an asterisk again. You know, it's a far cry from when he started in Seattle as that, you know, that skinny shortstop, you know, along with Ken Griffey Jr. and helping to develop a great ball club. But since then, I mean, when you're talking about somebody that's made $750 million just off of the baseball franchises alone, I mean, my goodness, it's gonna hurt. It's definitely gonna hurt the New York Yankees. It's hurting Cashman already. He just wants it to be done with. But yeah, sad turn of events for Alex Rodriguez.
I mean, granted, it's all hearsay and rumors right now, but I read two reports today. One said a possible lifetime ban for Alex Rodriguez in Major League Baseball. The other said he was making a deal for a 150-game suspension.
Yeah, you know, and so if it's a 150-game suspension, I mean, you're looking at Alex Rodriguez and how old he is. He's pretty much at the end of his career. And, you know, the Yankees are very adamant about wanting to get rid of that contract. They'll wind up having to swallow it because I don't think any team will pick it up. But at the same time, I mean, you know, he doesn't have very many years left. So if the Yankees release him, who's going to pick him up?
A team looking to sell tickets, maybe?
Yeah, there's always room for that. I mean, we know that in this day and age of sports. So, you know, it'll remain to be seen what happens with Alex. And, of course, you know, it's nothing right now, but it doesn't look good.
Speaking of not looking good, one more item to touch on here on the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Sean, have you read on what is going on with Johnny Football?
Yes, I've had the chance to take a look at what's going on. And of course, you know, the latest rumor is that he was at the Manning's quarterback camp, and he had to leave early. For whatever reasons, it sounds like personal reasons, but before that, you know, Johnny Football has been getting into a little bit of trouble. And so, you know, right now, the NFL is saying that they're not too worried. It sounds like minor things, but this is definitely something to watch here in the future because, you know, this is starting to be commonplace for athletes to just buckle and fold in the limelight. And, you know, this is a whole nother show that we can talk about as far as, you know, paying these young men just the tons of money that these professional sports do right out the gate. And so, you know, it makes you wonder if this guy is actually prepared and ready to play football, you know, for Texas.
Well, it's sad right now because he's got misdemeanor charges. He did the Manning family wrong at their football camp, and I don't know who in the world would do that when they're invited to help kids, teach kids, and not only that, but spend time with the Manning family. And now he's being compared to possibly another Ryan Leaf if he doesn't correct what he's doing wrong.
Yeah, you know, and I guess he left the day before the camp was over. The interesting thing is statements from the Manning family had nothing but great things to say. Of course, you know, Peyton and Eli are taking the high road on this, and I'm sure that we're going to find out what's going on here in the next upcoming days. But, you know, this is something that, you know, Johnny Football is definitely going to have to mature in. I mean, he has a chance. He's still playing in college. He has a chance to turn it around. And if he does, you know, he'll have a successful career. If he doesn't, well, then there'll be a huge question mark for him as far as if he's a first-round pick or a second-round pick, and he could fall very quickly if things don't turn around.
Yeah, you just hope that at some point guys going down the wrong path will right that ship and realize what they have in front of them.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, it's up to him. It's up to him if he wants to do it. And, again, he still has time to right the ship.
Show number 10 on the Double with the Double S Express. A quick recap, our big-time guest tonight, Jason Gesser, quarterback coach at the University of Wyoming and former quarterback at Washington State University, as well as the NFL, the CFL, and the Arena League as well. Followed up with big-time guest number 2, Harrison Wood, DJ, KLUC in Las Vegas, and comic artist of Gemini Storm. It's been a good show, Sean Boyd.
It sure has. And so number 10 under our belt, full steam ahead. Look forward to next week's show.
10 down. Let's get the next 10 rolling. That's going to do it for On the Double tonight. For Sean Boyd in Sacramento, I'm Sean Wally, Tri-Cities, Washington. We will talk to you next Monday right here on the Double.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests on the Double with the Double S Express.